Come on, let's worship the Lord. Come on, if that's the best you got, come on, give it to the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Father, we pray, we bless your name. We ask that you speak in this place afresh. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will last forever. Speak afresh in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. From 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. I want to lift up just a few verses, beginning at verse 11. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here from whom we may inquire of the Lord?" One of the servants of the king of Israel answered, "Elisha the son of Shaphat is here, who used to pour water over Elijah's hands." Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to Elijah. Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What business do you have with me? Go to the prophets of your wicked father Ahab and the prophets of your pagan mother Jezebel." But the king of Israel said to him, "No, for the Lord has called these three kings together to be handed over to Moab." Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts, armies live, before whom I stand, were it not that I have regard for Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at your ugly face. Oh, I will not look at you, nor see you, king of Israel. But now, bring me a musician." And it came about, while the musician played, that the hand and power of the Lord came upon Elisha. Look at somebody as you take your seat. Tell them, don't stop the music. You may be seated. The interesting thing, when we read this text today, it is replete with so much information that one can get overload. But let me see if I can recap real quick. We have three kings who've come together. They have taken a circuitous route to get to the field of battle. The route that they've taken has put them in a position where they have people, but they have no potable water. They are stuck like Chuck. They're in a mess. They don't know what they're going to do next. But they do know that if their enemy figures out that they are in that position, they are all dead. They have led their people into a way in which there is no way to get out of. And the Bible says that there's at least one person in the group that knows the Lord. The Bible says that Jehoshaphat says, "Well, before we lose our mind, let's take a moment here and pause and find out if there's somebody that can intercede for us. Is there a prophet available that can talk to God on our behalf and seek divine wisdom in this situation? Is there somebody who can enter into intercessory prayer, who could stand between us and God and break the yoke of bondage for the lack of information that we have? Is there somebody through whom God might perform a miracle?" Now, you have to read the text closely to see what I'm about to say, but it's in the text. It is the king of Israel that says, "We're out here," and he almost repeats his words, "We're all going to die. We're in a bad situation." And when he gets before the prophet of God, he says, "We three kings have come out here and we have been turned over to the hand of." It is the sense of dread, woe, fear. Everything's falling apart. Let me stop somebody right here. The trick of the enemy in every area of your life is to make you think the worst before you get to what's better. to have you freaking out before you get to exercise your faith. Come on, let me preach to you a minute. Because I know folk, the minute they hear bad news or the minute they see an awkward, ugly situation, the first thing they do is start to lose their mind. And I always ask folk, why panic when you can pray? Panic ain't never saved nobody. Panic ain't never helped anybody get out of a jam. But I do know this much. Prayer changes things. Let me tell you something. The good thing that this person has done is he has brought with him a friend. And this is loosely used, the word friend, because they're not close. They just know each other. They're not close. They're just within the same family line. They're not really close. Let me help somebody right here. There are people in your life that God allows to be in your life you ain't tight with, but every now and then they call on you and you try to be available to them because you do have some kind of relationship with them, although it ain't what they think. Let me preach a little while. I came to talk to you. Listen. You need to make sure that in your life you have a friend or at least three friends. One friend you need is a friend that's fearless. Preach, watch. When they start talking about death, Jehoshaphat start talking about what we're going to do to get out of this mess. Everybody needs a fearless friend. I don't need fickle friends. I don't need fake friends. I don't need friends that come around me sometime. No. I need somebody that's fearless. Give me a ride or die any day. I'll take a few ride or dies over a multitude of fake, phony people. Give me real. You need a fearless friend, but the next thing you need in your life is a friend that has faith. Everyone needs a friend with faith. Let me tell you something. Don't let all of your friends in your life be as scared as you. You need somebody in your life that has more faith than you have. Somebody in your life that's been with God a little longer than you have. Somebody in your life that's seen God do things that maybe you haven't seen. Did you notice what Jehoshaphat said? When they mentioned Elisha, they said, yeah, he used to pour water over Elijah's hand. And his response was, yes, but the Lord is with him. I know about that man. I know the anointing on his life. I know God is with him. You need somebody that can recognize where God is. Preach was. But then everybody needs a friend with favor. Yeah. Let me see if I can work this a little bit harder. Listen. When the prophet sees the other man, he just looks at him and says, He said, you scoundrel. Read up further in the text. The text says he's not as bad as Ahab. And he's not as bad as Jezebel. But he's just as bad as the person that succeeded them. Y'all missed it, went over your head. So when the prophet sees him, he sees the devil on him. Y'all gonna miss it. So what the man says to him is real cool. It's real simple. He says, if it were not for the fact that you have Jehoshaphat with you, I wouldn't even look at you, much less help you. You need somebody in your crew who has favor, whose favor favors you. Yeah. See, you've got to have somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody, because every now and then everybody needs to know somebody. But since you can't know everybody, you need to know somebody that knows somebody, because their favor. Can I say something else? He says his favor is so good that even though I'm unfavorable toward you, his favor overrides your unfavorableness. This gonna mess somebody up. Sometimes you will bless somebody who doesn't deserve it because of who they're associated with and not because of them. Woo! Good God Almighty. That person's about to receive a blessing by association, not because they have that kind of association themselves. They are blessed because they're standing next to a blessed person. They're blessed. Let me try and walk this a little. I feel like preaching. Y'all see that? I didn't even know. I feel it. Now watch this. If you think about it, watch what happens here. You think about it, Jehoshaphat says, is there a prophet here? The servant of the king of Israel answers the question. He was talking to the kings, but the servant knew the answer. And the servant said, yes, Elisha is here. Wait a minute. You ain't from around here. Elisha doesn't live in that territory. That's not the area where he normally ministers. That's not the place where the people gather that he has dealings with. What is he doing there? The only logical thing you can come up with is that he's there because God sent him there. Y'all, thank you so much. Thank you so much. He's in the right place at the right time. And somebody in here ought to recognize it, because you're in the right place at the right time to receive a blessing from the Lord. Y'all missed it. Come on. Now, so what you need to realize, I'm trying to help somebody that's going through something right now. The person you need to help you in what you're dealing with, they are already in position. They may not know they're in position for you, but they're already in. See, let me. Can I help somebody here? God knew you were going to get in the mess before you got in it. God knew stuff was going to go wrong before it went wrong. God knew you were going the wrong direction before you made it out there into the wilderness. God knew you were going to run out of water before you ran out of water. Preach, watch. I'm trying to. The thing I'm about to tell you is the situation you're in right now, God knew it before you got to it. Real quick, my son was a real small little boy, little tiny boy, real tiny boy. He loved Mother Story and Deacon Story. Oh my God, my kids loved them. And he around there running around the Story House out there in Mystic. Some of y'all who have been there, because they used to hold meetings there all the time. He run around there and he ran into a wall, split his head open. We get there, pick him up. Oh, Lord. Now he got a bad split right in the middle of his head. We get to the hospital. We walk in the door. And we get there, and my boy got a split. And they said, well, he's going to need stitches. And I said, well, I just can't have anybody, you know. Now, let me say, I didn't get to say much. Normally, I am the lead conversationalist. My wife said, and I said, she right. just so happened that the physician that was on call that night took a place for somebody else who had to be somewhere. He just happened not to just be a doctor, but to be a cosmetic plastic surgeon. Don't worry, I'll do it. He said, I got him. He said, only thing I need to do is we got to hold her in place. And we were holding him. Watch this. He said, I know if a normal surgeon did this, you would see it. But unless you were back here back then, you see my son, you can't even see the scar. Y'all about to miss it. We didn't know he was going to run into a wall. We did not know that he would need stitches. But you can't tell me it's just a coincidence that a plastic surgeon is in an emergency room at L&M at the time he needs to have his head fixed. You come on here. The person that you need is already in position. Lord, and I'm still on the introduction. I got to hurry up. Listen, not only is he in position, the person that you need is already in purpose. That what they have in them matches what you need in your life. Real quick, I got to roll because I'm in a hurry, y'all. The last thing on this quick section here is that the person you need is already in power. Because the anointing they need in order to do what you need to get done is already upon them. Woo! I feel like preaching all over this place. Here it is. But Elisha is yoked up. I don't know about you. You all look a little more saved than me. But I've been mad a few times. Yeah. I have. I confess it's good for the soul. I generally function in be angry but sin not. But I've lost it once or twice. Back in my college days, I was saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, with a mighty burning fire. I had a man in my meeting. It was a fraternity brother. And he called me out of my name several times. And I took it. I was good up until the point he told me that he was going to take out his frustration on my derriere. Those of you who don't know that word, it's the shorter word you're more used to saying. And he was going to go and take out a can of whoop that. At which point I said, God, I need your help. And since God didn't come help me, I adjourned the meeting and I said, there's a hallway out here and there's nothing but space and opportunity. Pull your can out. Look, after I knocked him down the third time, I was still in control. I wasn't yelling. I didn't use any profanity. I was still in Jesus' name. I picked him up and I said, have you had enough? He said, I said, let's go back to the meeting. Yeah! Let me tell you something. I have not done that since. Not saying it did cost. Never. Let me try to make it. But you can get yoked up. Watch this. He was so outside of himself. And I believe, if you read the psalmist offers these with some words, something like this. He says, I hate those that hate you. His indignation might have been on behalf of God, since this man, what he was doing and had done was antithetical to their faith. He was yoked up. Watch this, I'm going somewhere. And he says, is there a musician here? Because I need to get this yoke off me. Man, I'm trying to go somewhere. Is there a musician here? Because I need to come up. Because I've been down too long. Is there a musician here? Because I need to shake this spirit of anger, which is interfering with my anointing. I'm trying to bless somebody right here. There may come a time in your life when you need an emotional shakeup to get you back to center, because the enemy can take you out of purpose and can have your power undercover because you have been pushed beyond your limit. At which point, you need three things to happen. The first of which is you need to shift the atmosphere. I'm going to try and do this quickly, but I'll get the first one out good. The other two, I'll just throw them in for good luck, blessings, whatever. Listen, you need to shift the atmosphere. Let me do this to you again one more time. Have you ever been in a place where you were just down? You just felt the blues? Have you ever turned some good music on and start bobbing your head? Oh, yeah. Now, let me tell you this now. I like spiritual music, but I ain't saying that's the only music that'll move you. Because the groove can come in many ways. You may get it in the P-Funk. The thing I'm talking about is the shift, which simply wants to allow you to realize that there is an atmosphere around you at all times. And it is not just the atmosphere in the room. When you come in here, there's a corporate atmosphere, but you carry your own. Sometimes you can look at people and they carry a spirit of depression. You can look at them and they look down. You can look at an individual and they look like they're loose. Oh, y'all missed that one? I don't need to make any more blame. Okay. I can. Have Have you ever been walking down the street and walked by somebody and you said they look like they're up to no good? They didn't say anything to you. Their clothes didn't give them away. They didn't look thuggish or mean or like they had something on the back of their neck. Nothing like that. But their spirit projected wickedness. Don't tell me you haven't experienced it. You got it on your job. You walked in your job and said, oh, something wrong. No, I don't know what's wrong, but something wrong. Do you realize that every one of us has the ability to discern spirits? See, y'all, let me help you. Let me talk to somebody. Any married men in here? Any married men here? Any married men? Thank you very much. Thank you, married men. Any of you used to be married? Yeah, okay. Okay. All right. Tell me if I'm wrong. Stop me when I'm wrong. Your significant other doesn't have to say anything to you. And you can know what's going on. You walk near him, oh Lord, what did I do? Okay, wait a minute now. I know I did that. You almost try and figure out what am I guilty of because you look like you about to kill me. And you don't even have to see them to sense it. Am I preaching? Yes, sir. You know I'm telling the truth. What happened to the prophet is his spirit had shrunk to the level of his condemnation of the man in front of him. It didn't take his anointing away. Let me see. This is important. Touch somebody's knee. Just say, neighbor, you don't lose your anointing because you get upset, but you just can't function in it. See, some of y'all don't realize. You keep trying to function in an anointing that's not working through you because you haven't shifted the atmosphere to enter that anointing to be useful. You can play the chord, but if there's no anointing behind it, it will not have the same effect as when the power of God is upon you. Okay, wait a minute. Can I, this is for every musician, singer, vocalist in here. He called the person to come and to minister. Do y'all notice what's not in the text? There's nowhere in the text where the worship leader came to the presence of the man of God and got prepared in front of the man of God. The worship leader was getting prepared to lead a worship. He didn't even know he was going to need to lead, but he knew he needed to be ready in case ever called upon. See, some of y'all come in church, y'all, you still mad about yesterday. You still mad about didn't go right when you went to the place you went to, or you got up this morning and your dress didn't fit the way you wanted to, or your hair wouldn't lay in the direction you wanted to, or you pulled up the skirt you wanted to wear, it's now too loose or it's too tight. You got a lump where you didn't know you had one before. You looked around and the shoes you wanted to wear were run over. You couldn't put them on, and all of a sudden you came to church. You were still in the spirit of aggravation, and now you think you're going to bring in the anointing. And don't you brothers look at me like you don't have the same issue. You got up, you're trying to shave your hair, and all of a sudden you cut your big old hair and you're trying to stop the blood from coming out. You up there trying to fix your mustache, but you went down too far, and now all of a sudden you're walking around with me like no mustache because you done messed it. Come on here. By the time you got to church, you started the car up, and old Betsy, you start talking to her. Come on, Hoopty. Come on, baby. In the name of Jesus, start this morning. And now you coming to church trying to minister aggravated. Let me preach this. I got to get, I'm almost done. I really am. My time is almost out. I don't even know what time it is. It's almost out. Okay. I see red numbers, which means, okay, I got to go. I bet y'all better get me back in the sanctuary. This is a little too comfortable. I'm having too much fun. Y'all so close, I feel like we just having a conversation. Let me get back to shift the atmosphere. Now what does it mean? What does it mean? You need to realize that a divine shift is a prerequisite before supernatural manifestation can begin. A divine shift is a prerequisite before supernatural manifestation can begin. Can I tell y'all something? If you don't realize that you need to shift, I start shifting from the flesh on Saturday, so that on Sunday I'm coming already in. What do you mean? Beginning Saturday, I start to guard my spirit. I don't go around a lot of people. I spend more time in prayer or being quiet and to myself. Why? Because I know I need to minister in the morning, and I begin to shift. I owe God at least two things, and three if I'm accurate, two of which Gardner Taylor talks about. One is I owe God a well-prepared mind. The second thing I owe God is a rested body. But the third thing I owe God is a spirit ready to be used. Come here. You got to get this. The shifted atmosphere removes hindrances from the mind that impede godly thoughts and the sense of divine presence. Let me say it again. The shifted atmosphere removes hindrances from the mind that impede godly thoughts and the sense of divine presence. I want to give you two quick things about that's going to help you. God is always with you. The only difference is there are times when you can sense God's presence better. It's like the sun is always up. There are times when you can see it better. The sun doesn't go down because the earth is still spinning. Just because you're sitting in darkness don't mean the sun ain't shining somewhere. come here. I need you all to get this. Gonna, if I just finish this one point, that's what I'll get. But I need to get this right here. There's an A underneath here. A, you want to shift the energy. Shift the energy. Now, don't think I'm not being spiritual and deep, because I'm going to give you a definition for this in just a moment. You want to shift the energy. Right now, there's an energy in this room, and you all sense it. There's an energy of peace. There's almost an energy of joy and laughter and spiritualness. You can all sense it. It feels good. That's the energy of the room. When I say shift the energy, what I mean spiritually, because there are a lot of things that we can use the word shift with and energy related to. So I want to narrow it down to spirituality now. Spiritually, it means to shift the atmosphere, to transform the existing energy into a more hospitable environment for divine purposes. Let me say it again. It is to shift the atmosphere, to transform the existing energy, that is that which is normally prevailing, into a more hospitable environment for divine purposes. So what I'm suggesting is I'm making room for God. I'm making room for God to be manifested and for God to be glorified. Here's a B underneath here. B. It's not only to shift the energy or the second thing it is to shape the emotions. Shape the emotions. Thank you, Lord, for this. I need to shape the emotions. What I have to realize is that God works through your senses, and I'm going to come back to this in a moment. And what I need to know is that my emotions have to be surrendered to God. That's why I don't allow everything to tip my emotions. I don't become emotional about everything. My family will tell you. Even when I told you about that story with that young man, I never got emotional about it. I was never angry at him. I was just helping him out. And I helped him up 3 times. Why? Because I'm not going to lose me, because I realize this. That when I shift, and the reason I shift is that I need to know that the shift is as much attitudinal as it is spiritual. Attitudinal. What is your attitude towards spiritual things? I need to shift my attitude. And sometimes you can walk in with an attitude. Let me preach this just for a few minutes, Holy Ghost. And your attitude does not align with or stand in agreement with the anointing functioning through you. Let me give you a quick attitude analogy real quick. There's a difference. You've all been served by waiters and waitresses and baristas and, you know, at a counter. There's a huge difference between somebody saying, here, and someone handing you your coffee, your water, your juice, your food, and saying, is there anything else you need? The attitude almost makes the flavor of the food taste different. Because we are people that are susceptible and sensitive to attitude. And if I don't adjust my attitude to towards God and allow God to move me, I'm going to miss what God is doing. All right, here's the C underneath this, and here's the C. I told you I'd throw you the other 2 points, and I'm going to be done for the day, but let me give you the C real quick. C is, it strengthens the relationship to the eternal. When I shift the atmosphere, it strengthens my relationship to the eternal. Watch this. You're gonna want to write this down, take this home, because you have to think about it. The shift represents the supernatural replacement of one spirit to the Spirit of God. And when I shift, what I do is I let God's Spirit be dominant and my spirit be submissive. And once my spirit is submissive, and we use words like yielded, surrendered, it's the same thing. I must decrease that he might increase. My desire decreases that his desire for me becomes preeminent. You want to always be happy? You want to never be upset about any gift, any blessing at all? What you start to do is play a simple prayer. Lord, what's for me? Bring it to me. What's not? Push it far away. If it's going away, it wasn't intended for me. And I'm happy. If it's coming to me, it was intended for me, and I'm happy. Either way, I'm happy. Why are you happy, Reverend? Because I'm happiest in the will of God. Because in the will of God, I've got a hiding place. The safest place in the whole wide world is in the will of God. Let me give you, I'm going to give you number two and number three for this sermon, and I'm going to be done. Next week we're celebrating the church anniversary. Number two, I said we need to shift the atmosphere. Number two, I said you need to know that this is a sensory anointing. Sensory anointing. This anointing that God has, that what God was about to do, could be triggered through the senses. Meaning that when the music played, yeah, something happened. I will always worship you as long as I am breathing. I will always worship. Stay right there. Always. Here's my worship. All of my worship. Receive. All of my worship. And I will not be silent. I will always worship you. As long as I am breathing, I will always worship you. He is my worship, all of my worship. Receive my worship, all of my worship. my worship.
Is my worship.
All of my worship.
All of my worship.
Receive.
Receive my worship. All of my worship.
Right there, you can start feeling yourself feeling. It is sensory. And so what I have to do is I have to guard myself and I have to guard my senses so that I can allow God to use those same senses to trigger me into a place with God. If you can be triggered into anger, if you can be triggered into lying or stealing or fighting, then you can be triggered into the Spirit of God. And you can move in a different way where the anointing of God takes control.
Always worship you.
Here it is, number three, and I'm done. I promise you, I'm done. Stay right there. Stay right there. Don't lose it. Why am I staying there? Because there is no praise and worship that does not give adoration unto God. There's no music that needs to be played in here that is not number three, sincere adoration. So that when the man of God began to play his instrument, he was simply lifting up adoration unto God. And you need to know that adoration is the respect and the reverence. It is strong admiration. It is love of a person or a place or a thing. But the thing word comes from the word in Latin, which means adoratio, which is to give homage or worship. So when I come in this place, I don't just come in to sing a song or to pray a prayer or to lift up my hands. I come here to give God the glory, to give God the adoration, to give God the honor, because it's all about telling God, I adore you, I love you, I need you. Yes. As long as I am breathing,
as long as I am breathing,
I will always
worship you.
Yes.
Is my worship.
All of my worship.
All of my worship.
Receive my worship. Yes.
My worship. All of my worship.
Receive
my worship. All of my worship.
And I will not be silent.
And I will not be silent.
Here is
my worship.
always?
I will always worship.
As long as I am breathing.
As long.
Shiloh family, I welcome you today.
Worship.
silent. Part of us, write or call me right now. We'd love to have you in the Shiloh family. Thank you, Lord. As long as I am breathing,
I will always worship you.
And I will not be silent. Worship you. As long as I am breathing.
As long as I am breathing, I will always worship you.
Here, listen. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And you're saying, God, until you call me from labor to reward, as long as there's breath in my body, as long as I'm breathing, I will always worship you. Through the good and the bad, I'm going to worship you. And the reason I'm singing, God, is because I know I need to shift some atmospheres around me. And I'm ready for the shift. Look, would you do me a favor? Would you just say to someone that you're not going to be too close to them, just tell them, I'm coming up out of this spirit now. I'm coming up out of it. It's broken. Tell somebody it's broken. Finally, online, just tell somebody right now, I'm shifting today. The shift is on. I'm shifting today. And I will not be silent.
I will always worship.
Right there, one more time. And I will.
And I will not be silent. I will.
I will
not be silent.
as I am breathing,
as long as I am breathing, I will always worship you.
We're gonna stop here. Here is my worship.
Here is my worship.
Y'all just play soft. I'm trying to get out of here. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. let y'all go. Well, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our sight. I'm getting ready to close. Get your offering in your hand. If you've already sent it in, if you're doing it by Givelify, Cash App, hold your BDA device, your personal device online, please get your offering, whatever God has laid on your heart. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Anything you give above the tithe is your offering. Just hold it in your hand. And when you hold it, just know God already hears, God already understands. Let's bless God. Father, we thank you as we give now unto you. We thank you that every need is met and that we have more to put away in store. Thank you, God, that everything your people need will be supplied. That God, there'll be miracles, there'll be breakthroughs, there'll be releases of resources so that God, they can make the devil be horrified by all that you've done and by their glorifying you. God, we give your name the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.